You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It sure is fantastic, just like this program. It's Shimon Lyons and Omega today. She's in Florida for the weekend, so Lyons is doing an admirable job filling
Sorry
in today.
Sorry to that 802 texter who's looking for Mega because this guy sucks.
It's okay. You People love Mega. I get it.
Yeah.
They like her more than me. It's,
yeah, we all do.
It's cool. Yeah. The Celtics got a nice win in Miami last night against the Heat. 103-91. Big game for Jrue Holiday. He had a season high 25 points in the game. Derek White struggled early, turned it on in the late second half, and Jason Tatum went for 28 yet again. And the Boston Celtics continue to own the Miami Heat, which is great. They get another matchup with the Brooklyn Nets today. Lyons, you saw no Jaylen Brown, no Kristaps Porzingis in that game last night. Porzingis has now missed 9 games. Do you expect him back tonight? Are you hoping to see him tonight?
I kind of am, because last night it felt like he was really engaged on the sidelines. Felt that way Wednesday against OKC as well. I mean, when you watch the videos of him going through shoot-arounds and workouts, like, he looks good. So I could see them going into this weekend saying, hey, we're going to play Holiday and Tatum on Friday. Saturday is going to be Porzingis and Brown. We'll rest the other two the opposite days and kind of go for. And I think for Porzingis, play this game in Brooklyn might be a nice landing spot. Couple days off coming up. Like, I could see that being something where they kind of ease him back in, because the one thing that I want to see more from the Celtics this, at least the rest of this year, is just more minutes from that true starting five.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
On New Year's Day, that true starting five had only 86 total minutes together. Now I think they're somewhere in the 300s, which sounds like a lot, but considering each game's 48 minutes, it's really not that much.
Yeah, so Jason Tatum's played like 1,500 minutes this year or something crazy.
Right, so I want to see them get some more minutes together, and you just look at the way the schedule sets up. You have the game tonight against Brooklyn, then you have a home game against Brooklyn again, but you have 2 days off in between. Then you have that West Coast road trip that I think you can kind of work some nights with that true starting five,
yep.
Some extra rest nights for Holiday and Porzingis as well. But that's something, because when you look at the rest of their schedule coming up, I mean, Phoenix has talent, but they're like the 11th seed in the West. I mean, Orlando's pretty good, but they are obviously kind of injured, and that's near the end of the season. Memphis is probably your last game against a really good team the rest of this year. So if there's one thing they can do, if they're not going to be quote-unquote tested a bunch, is get as many minutes with that starting five to kind of ramp up into the playoffs as they can.
Yeah, not to say that there was anything nefarious going on, but it feels like, and this is just kind of my perspective, is it feels like they were almost kind of like putting Porzingis in a bubble. Like, the non-COVID illness thing is weird. Yeah, oh yeah, no, that's, I am as well. You know, I don't want the NBA looking into the Celtics like they're looking into, OKC for resting all five guys in a game. But, you know, I just look at it, I'm like, non-COVID illness. He's looked fine. He's been at practice. Like you said, engaged on the sideline two games in a row. Like, I feel like he's close. It has to be either he had like some kind of like tapeworm or something where they knew other players couldn't get it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Why have him around the team if he had anything contagious?
Well, because he said viral. I'm like, if it's viral, that means you could give it to other people. Yeah. Like, why would you have him around the team? So to me, it just feels like almost they were kind of putting him in a bubble, which I'm in favor for, by the way. Like, having Kristaps Porzingis healthy for the playoffs is one of the most important things for this Boston Celtics team. Yeah, they were able to make do in last year's run, but the best games they played were when he's on the floor.
I think the single best basketball the Celtics have played in the last 5 years was those Porzingis minutes in game one of the finals last year.
They dominated. He had that one stretch. I want to say it was like end of first quarter, beginning of the second quarter.
That's when it was,
where
he came off the bench. Yeah, and he had the dunk, the block, the three, right, all in succession. And even in game five, when he came back from his injury and they dominated, I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence their two biggest wins of the series were games Porzingis played a decent amount, right?
Yeah.
So I think with him and this year specifically, he's even more important than he was last year. Because you just look at the teams they're going to play, probably, you know, get to the conference finals, get to the finals. Cleveland has a decent amount of size.
Yeah, they got two bigs.
But Jared Allen is 6'11", and all the other guys are 6'9", and below. So if you have Porzingis and then another big, whether it's Horford, Kornet, Kata, whoever they like matchup-wise, I think it'll be Kornet, you have a lot of size advantage on Cleveland. And then OKC, with the amount of size they have. And
Mobley
the amount,
also 6'11", by the way.
Maybe it's Mobley that's 6'11", and Jared Allen's like 6'9", or 6'10". I'd have to double-check. But with the size OKC has and the attacking style OKC plays with, you're going to need Porzingis in that series.
Yeah. So you talk about the teams that they'll probably face leading up to the NBA Finals. Assuming they would face OKC in the Finals, that's a series that could maybe make you a little nervous, because I think OKC is just so good defensively. They have a guy who can score 50 any night he wants, it feels like, and they've just been so efficient all year. But when you look at the rest of the East, are you really intimidated by anybody else? Are you intimidated by a team like Cleveland?
No, to me, what Wednesday night showed is that there's really only one team in the entire NBA that I think when the Celtics are fully healthy could still lose to, and that's OKC. And I would still, to be clear, I would pick the Celtics in a final series against them. I think the Celtics are a little bit better. But they're the only team that's on that level, where I think it would be a 6 or 7-game series, almost every game is close type deal. Whereas I look around the East, the Knicks don't scare me at all. Milwaukee doesn't scare me at all. Orlando, I think, would give them a tough series because of their size and their ability to have good ball movement and score. And I think Banchero is just a stud. But still, that's a team that it feels like they're another 2 years away from, or at least a year from, being really good.
And I think Cleveland would give you a good series just because, like, Donovan Mitchell loves playing the Celtics. He's not scared of you.
And I think you look at last year, Donovan Mitchell won game two in the Garden almost on his own.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, with Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell is good enough. He'll win a game almost on his own. Cleveland will win another game.
Yeah, so they might win two.
But you even look at this year, the Celtics have lost two games to Cleveland, and both times they were without multiple starters. Right? Yeah. The first loss, when was it, in December? Jaylen Brown and Derek White didn't play. This past loss, when they blew that 22-point lead and 17 in the third quarter. But that, no Holiday, no Porzingis. So you weren't even down one starter in those games. You were down two. I think you go into a playoff series fully healthy, or even down one starter, I still think I think Cleveland's a great team, but I still think you're better. Whereas OKC, I'm like, and it's their depth. They're well coached. I mean, the Celtics at times this year, I think, have been a little bit loose. And I think, you know, you go back to that December
20-point loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers where they had the lead.
Well, you go that December 23rd game against Orlando, Christmas Day games, they had leads and they kind of took a step back as the game went on.
Yeah.
But I felt like OKC's the only team this year that has forced them off balance. Right, like, you know, the Celtics commit 16 fouls a game. Against OKC, they commit 25.
Yeah.
Right, they miss a bunch of threes. That game is tied at 98 in the fourth quarter, and OKC goes on an 8-0 run. Like, they're the first team, I feel like, this year that has forced the Celtics kind of off balance, to their credit.
And I mean, they took 63 threes in that Thunder game, and I think that was, I mean, that was the big equalizer, right? It was just that they couldn't hit the threes.
A lot of them were open looks.
Even Mazzulla was saying, he's like, we got a lot of looks that we liked. We just didn't hit them, and they just didn't fall. And that's, you know, once in a while that's going to happen. But in a 7-game series, how many times does that happen? Once? Like, that's not going to happen multiple times. That number is going to go from, instead of being 20 of 63, you become, you know, 29 of 58 instead, and it's like, okay, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, or even if, really, realistically, if they had gone like 24 of 63 the other night, they probably win that game.
They do.
Right? And I think that's where, though, we brought up Porzingis. I mean, we're talking about a guy in points per possession on post-ups of qualifiers. You know, he's number one in the NBA or has been for most of the year. This is an elite offensive player in the post. So if you're not hitting those threes, or OKC goes with that type of zone they were playing the other night, Porzingis is a major factor that can overcome that. And as a post defender, I mean, Chet Holmgren went, what, 23 and 15 the other night?
Yeah, he had a good game.
And he's a great player. That's not happening with Porzingis in there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the 23, not the 15.
Yeah, going up against Luke Kornet, a bit different than going up against Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, and I think, too, like SGA, how much he drives the lane, and he does a tremendous job with it. That's obviously a lot more difficult when you have Porzingis. It's just all those things. And I think for, like, a guy like Al Horford, he is, at his age now, good enough to maybe make an impact in one game per season, like a big impact. Like game five against Cleveland last year, he was great. Game three against Indiana, he had 7 threes.
You look back just a couple weeks ago in that Lakers game, tremendous on LeBron.
So, like, I think he's good enough where he'll win you or be a major factor in like one win, maybe two per series, but that's it. Whereas Porzingis, he can help you win 4 out of 7 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, again, it's an age, it's talent, it's a skill, it's all that, you know, together. And also, OKC's depth, it's a little bit equalized when you now have Horford coming off the bench instead of having to start, right? It helps out a little bit there.
Yeah, because there's not even another team in the West. Like, I know Curtis's big theory has always been, you know, post Luka trade to the Lakers, is the NBA wants Lakers-Celtics in the final. But even if that did happen, the Celtics just kind of walk over the Lakers. They would own that team because, as you saw in the last matchup, I think they match up very well against LeBron James. They know, after having played him last year in the finals, they can just let Luka do whatever he wants, and it doesn't really matter.
And I think it's
almost like non-impactful minutes.
That's another series Porzingis, I think, would be a terror. Because,
yeah.
I mean, they traded Anthony Davis, an all-defensive type big. They just don't have the size on the inside, and the Celtics are not afraid of Luka at all. We've seen that last summer.
You saw it just the other night in the Lakers game, like with no LeBron, they played no defense.
Yeah, what did Luka have, 45 and they still lost by
20? 45 and 11 and they still lost by 20.
Exactly. So I think if you get the Lakers in the finals, LeBron is good enough. Like, they'll win a game or two, but that'll be almost like that 2008 series where it was a six-game series, but the Celtics were up 2-0, then they were up 3-1. They won game six by 39 points. Like, they were clearly the better team, albeit that the Lakers won 20. Like, I think it would be something like that. Whereas OKC, it would be 6 or 7. One of the games might be a blowout, and every other game would be down to the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Do you think a team in the West will beat OKC, or do you think they're just too good?
So you look at Denver, championship experience. Jokic is the best player in the league. They're on-off minutes with Jokic.
It's insane. If he doesn't play, they're screwed.
Yeah, it's freaking nuts. Like, Minnesota, I mean, are they more equipped to beat OKC now that they made that Karl Anthony Towns trade? I don't think so. Let's say the Lakers, Luka has 3 games in a row that he goes off and scores 40.
And LeBron just puts them on his back.
Could they win that series? Quite possible. Sure. I mean, you look at Dallas and Luka beat OKC last year, right?
Yep.
So in defense of them. But I look at this OKC team, and a lot of people have compared it to the Celtics of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're better than that. I think SGA is better now than Tatum was
then.
I think that team is a whole top to bottom. I mean, seriously, in no disrespect, like, I would take Jaylen Brown over Chet Holmgren, but I'm taking those guards over Marcus Smart, right? Like, I'm taking their bench players over, a not fully healthy Robert Williams. So, and I love Robert Williams, but I think this OKC team is the one team I look at and say a fully loaded Celtics team could play well and still lose. Like, I would still pick the Celtics, but that's the one team, like, they could still beat the Celtics.
617-779-7937. We'll continue with the Celtics conversation next. We'll also mix in a little bit of Bruins for you. They have a game tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning as well. It's Scheim and Lyons here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, but right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with...
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
What's trending? Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. No Mego today. She's enjoying some time off in Florida. Instead, the Lions Den has creeped in. John Lyons here with me up until 1 o'clock. And we'll get you ready for Red Sox spring training baseball today right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, it's WEEI Patrick's. Red Sox Radio Network.
I should have let you get through the small.
It's okay. Thing, so. I still got it. Don't worry.
St. Patrick's Day.
On the Ides of March.
That's true. Beware.
Beware, beware. The Ides of March.
Yeah. Not a good day for Julius Caesar.
No. Hopefully a better day for the Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins. We got the Celtics game tonight. They have the Brooklyn Nets. I believe tip-off is at 6 for that one. Bruins have the Tampa Bay Lightning at 7 at home against Tampa Bay, and the Celtics are in Brooklyn. We've been talking about the Celtics here since the top of the hour, John, and I kind of wanted to continue with this Celtics conversation a little bit. I look at this team, and we talk about getting more minutes for the full starting five, and that's one of the big differences. You know, when you look at a team like OKC, who has played their starting five together, you know, 90% of the year.
Cleveland as well. You know, excuse me, they've played a bunch of minutes together.
Do you think it makes sense to start that now? Or do you think that they need to wait a little bit longer and get closer to that playoff run before they really start like gearing everybody up as a unit?
So it doesn't. I wouldn't do it today, right? Like, yeah. I would give Jrue Holiday tonight
maybe
off.
Maybe Jason Tatum has the day off tonight.
But really starting, because what do they have? Brooklyn on Tuesday is their next game after. Starting then, I would at least every other game try to have everyone available because it's, as you mentioned, the Ides of March.
Yep.
A month from now, the playoffs start.
Which is
like,
awesome.
It's not that far away. So, I want to ramp those guys up and get as many. It's kind of the reverse of last year because if you remember last year, they had the one seed locked up with like 2.5 weeks to go. And that last week, they played all backups, basically all game, every game. Whereas this year, I think it's going to be the reverse. You're going to see a little bit heavy. Those last 2 weeks especially, you might see some heavier minutes for some guys going into the playoffs. Because I also think, I don't think their first-round matchup necessarily will be tough.
No.
But if they got Orlando in the second round, like, you're going to win that series. But that's a tougher matchup.
You might have to grind it out
a
little
bit more. Yeah, it's a tougher matchup than a depleted Cleveland team last year when Donovan Mitchell got hurt and Jared Allen didn't play.
Sure. You know? I also look at it like I think Tuesday is a good opportunity to play all five. Like it's the perfect night because then you get to go to Utah for the next game and you can sit everybody against Utah. You saw Utah, what was that, a week or so ago, and you just blew doors. Like they're not that great basketball team. You could trot out Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser for that one and walk away.
That was
away
the game Hauser had 33. Actually,
yes.
That Utah game. But yeah,
they blew the big lead in that game too, didn't they?
Yeah, and they ended up winning.
Yes.
Like they were up by 20, but yeah. Then yeah, they but. Yeah, like Tuesday against Brooklyn, and you mentioned Utah, but after that, like Sacramento has some talent. Like, I think Phoenix is really talented. So at least that would
They're just
like
bad. It's weird.
But that would at least be a test. Like, you're going against Booker and Durant. Like, that's at least like I would
San
want
San Antonio another rest game.
Yeah. Because... like, I want the whole starting five playing both Phoenix games, playing the Memphis game, playing that Orlando game late, one of those Charlotte games. So again, you don't have to do it every night, but I want to see it start happening a decent amount between now and playoff. Because I just think you're not going to have quite as much margin for error as you did in the playoffs. Now, there is, and I think you and Mego talked about this last week or the week before, you could maybe make the case come playoff time, the Celtics are going to be better than last year if they're fully healthy because they have that championship experience. Tatum's playing better basketball. They've played together over the past year, but I think a lot of that comes down to, do they get legit minutes together in the next month?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's important. I just also look at it. They've had, it's not like this is the first time the five of them have been on a team together. Like, they were on the team together last year. Like, they do historically have minutes together. So, yeah, it's important to get them some more minutes as a starting five leading up into the playoffs. But, like, I don't get scared with this team. I think at the end of the day, yeah, they're probably going to drop one or two games throughout the course of the playoffs where you're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, they were just...
that Miami game last year. Yeah, Miami shot, like, their best in franchise history from
three. Yeah, was it like Caleb Martin, like, absolutely went off or something? Yeah, just somebody stupid just has, like, some crazy game. And it's going to happen. You're going to go 20 of 63 from 3-1 game and just lose by seven. And it's just going to... and that's going to be okay. But at the end of the day, when you play the Celtics in a seven-game series, like, you just aren't going to win.
Like I said,
the numbers aren't in your favor.
Team that I could see beating them fully healthy in a seven-game series is OKC. And even that, I'm picking the Celtics, and I think they're better. But that's the only team I look at and say, okay, they could win that series. I just don't see Cleveland having the firepower. I think the Knicks are not, they're not good.
No.
I think Orlando's 2 years away. Milwaukee, they can't put it together, I think, for a full playoff run. Indiana, I know they got to the conference finals last year. Still feels like they're a player short there. So I just don't see it in the East.
617-779-7937. David in the car wants to weigh in. What's up, David?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show. So, you know, being a huge Celtics fan, we have to be concerned. If the possibility of the Celtics and the Lakers meeting up in the finals, the reason I say that is because Luka and LeBron playing together, the more they play together, the better they'll get together as a team. And I think for us to sit here and really think that the Celtics, nobody's really going to challenge them, I think that's kind of foolish of us, because look what happened with the Bruins a couple of years ago. Nobody thought anybody was going to be able to beat the Bruins, and they lost in the very first round. So we have to be cautious, because the Celtics have not been what they were last year at this time. And you know, repeating is a big challenge. There's a lot of pressure. And as teams like the Lakers, what concerns me is the more Luka and LeBron are playing, the better they get of knowing each other, how to play each other, and get the team to play the way they like to play. And that should be a concern for the Celtics.
All right, David, thanks for the call. I don't really equate it to the Bruins. I think hockey is much different
and
than basketball
the
in that
Bruins
regard.
And also, the Bruins weren't the defending champs. Like, so point being, like, the Celtics have shown they can go all the way and win.
And
your point is right about
hockey. Most times in basketball, the better team will win in a seven-game series, like most times. And there's exceptions to that rule, of course, but like, whereas in hockey, I feel like there are upsets from underdogs constantly.
And in fairness, that Florida team went to the Cup that year, won the Cup the next year. Like, they were not your traditional. Again, we don't have to relitigate that heartbreak, but they were not your traditional.
God, that was depressing.
Yeah, they were not your traditional eight seed, though.
Correct.
Right? Like, whereas here with the Celtics, like, again, David's point about LeBron and Luka playing together, obviously some of that hinges on LeBron's injury and when he gets back.
And when they have played together, they've been tremendous.
They were tremendous. And so if they make the finals, again, they could win a game or two against the Celtics just over the course of seven. I don't think they have enough top to bottom beat the Celtics, because I think the Celtics are just, I don't want to say they're in Luka's head, but they can figure out Luka. Like, Luka will score 30 and make a couple key mistakes.
Well, and I just look at it like this. I mean, is this Lakers team that much better than last year's Mavericks team?
I would say they're better, but that much, probably not. Like, LeBron is
like
obviously
LeBron
better.
LeBron is an upgrade over Kyrie Irving. After that, it's like the rest of the others are just...
I'd take Derek Lively on the Mavs over probably any of the other pieces. I mean, Austin Reeves is really good. I'm a big Derek Lively guy. But, like, so, like, the Lakers are really good, and they could go to the finals. I would just look at that series as LeBron and Luka will win one game. The Lakers as a team will probably win another game. But I really think it'll compare to that 2008 series where, yes, the Lakers won two games. They had Kobe and Gasol. They were great. Like, they were great. They won the title the next year.
Yep.
The next 2 years. But you never felt like the Celtics were in danger in that series. Like, they won game one. They had a huge lead in game two. It ended up being close, but they win. They have that comeback. And especially once they went up 3-1, you're like, they're going to win this series. So I think it would be kind of like that, where the Lakers might win a couple games, but I wouldn't be super worried per se.
617-779-7937. David also mentioned the Bruins. I want to get into a little bit of Bruins here with you, John Lyons, because I haven't talked to you much, if at all, actually, about the Boston Bruins. Post-Brad Marchand trade, I'm curious kind of where your head is at with this team. I've watched them, and so it's been now three games since the Brad Marchand trade. They won two, they lost one, but even in that loss, like, I feel like this Bruins team has a little bit more juice. And I'm not saying it's because of you traded Brad Marchand. It may just be because you're playing a lot more younger players. They're just faster to the puck. They have more to lose, I guess. They're playing for more. They're trying to earn their spot. They're trying to earn their way into full-time NHL roles. I think Casey Mittelstadt has been a surprise. Again, three games, but to the point, I feel like every time he touches the puck, he is producing something. And so I'm kind of curious where you're at post-Marchand.
Yeah, Shine, they're way better without Marchand.
They're better. They might make the playoffs, make a run.
So look, I will say this. You mentioned being faster to the puck, and I think that's a great point because obviously, you know, you watch the Bruins all year. You see them get beat to the puck. You see them give up, you know, one goal that leads to 2-3-4 to these 6-3 blowouts, these 5-1 blowouts. But even in the couple times I've been to Bruins games this year, like, I went to that Anaheim game a couple weeks ago, that Saturday night game, the first one after Four Nations.
Sure.
Anaheim's not that good, and they were noticeably faster in the building than the Bruins. Like, and so now, I think at a minimum, their team speed is better. And
definitely,
I think that's something that needed to be better, because I think what happened was, is the St. Louis Blues pushed them around in the Stanley Cup final 5 years ago. So what did they do?
Total overreaction.
Way over, we're going to get all big guys, all tough guys, all strong guys, to the point where then Florida skated circles around them in the last couple games of the playoff series 2 years ago, outskated them last year, and there's been a lot of teams to do that. Now I think they're on their way to a little bit more balance. Like, they're not there yet.
You need way more speed now in the NHL than you did in years ago.
I think you do.
The best teams are fast.
And I think even, like, the Bruins teams around here that have been truly good, like 2011, 2013, 14, like even 19 team, like, that was good, but, like, they benefited from the Lightning losing in the first round of Columbus. But, like, those teams had, size and toughness. They also had a decent amount of team speed, like, on those teams.
Well, and they could score on multiple levels, which I just don't think, outside of David Pastrnak, you haven't been able to
even
do that.
Even in 19, when they made the cup, it was that quote-unquote perfection line.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they traded for Coyle and Johansson where they got any secondary scoring.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. So I think they're on their way to doing that. And it wasn't just the Marchand trade. Like, I think the return for the Carlo trade, I was blown away.
That was the best.
You got a first-round pick.
That was the best deal Don Sweeney made.
Yeah.
Well, I have famously called Don Sweeney in previous years the Sweeneyus, because he's just, I think, in trades and
at the trade deadline, he's been really
good. He's been awesome. And in that year where they were the best team in hockey regular season history, I was like, this guy is putting together one of the best rosters I've ever seen. And unfortunately, that roster of players, the players failed, not the GM, the players and coach failed in that moment. And so I was ready after the Carlo trade. Knowing Marchand got traded, assuming we were going to get almost equal value for Marchand that we got for Carlo, I'm like, I had the tweet ready to go. I had it lined up. I was like, all I got to do is hit send. Let's go. The Sweeneyus is back. And then I found out from, like, John Buchagross that the return for Brad Marchand was a second-round conditional first-round pick. And I was almost blown away.
I should know this. Do you know what the conditions are for is it to become a first?
You have to, the Florida Panthers have to win the first two rounds of the playoffs,
which they will.
And Brad Marchand has to play in a minimum 25% of those games
in the first two rounds.
Correct.
So what I wonder is, this Marchand injury even worse than they've let on? Because to put a condition of just 25%, I wonder, is it a little bit worse? Because you'd think
it might be.
Marchand is the perfect guy to have in a good team as, like, a third line, maybe second line wing, you know, complimentary piece to help you win a cup. He's great. That's why I remember that Avalanche trade, that hypothetical where it's like Crosby and Marchand might both. Like, that's another spot. He would have been a second or third line wing.
And instead they went with Brock Nelson.
Right. But I think he's the... So because he's the perfect piece for that for a team like Florida, for it still to have that level of conditions, I wonder, maybe the injury's worse than we've been led to believe.
So I think it's twofold. I think the injuries definitely played a role in that, because even right after the trade, I want to say it was Kevin Paul DuPont even came out and said the timeline now seems like more 4 to 6 weeks than it did 2 to 3 weeks.
Which, by the way, is through the first round of the playoffs.
Sure. And so so that was a big question mark. But the other thing to me is it felt like Don Sweeney and Cam Neely, instead of it being the limited no trade that Brad Marchand had, treated it like a full no trade and basically said, Brad, where do you want to go? He said Florida, and unfortunately, due to the Seth Jones trade and like all the other things that Florida had done, they don't have first round picks this year or next year. And so then you now push it off 2 years, and then the injury ties in. And so that's why I think the conditions came into play, and it was only a second-round pick to start.
Yeah, and you look at, too, like the Coil trade. Like when you
that
take
Carlo
it,
trade was a fleecing. Yeah.
And when you take it in totality, like the Marchand trade, the Coil trade, the Carlo trade, the Brezzo trade, I like the overall haul that they
Agreed.
Got back.
Even
like,
the Frederick trade. I mean, you got as much for Trent Frederick and Max Jones as you did for Brad Marchand at this moment.
So I think they're set up pretty well. They're going to have a bunch of money to spend in the offseason as well. I think the question now becomes, is Sweeney the guy, and you can by extension say Neely, the guy you trust to rebuild that? Yeah. Because you're right about him in the trade deadline. He's been phenomenal.
Nails.
I mean, drafting-wise, it's McAvoy. I guess they drafted Swayman, right? And then what else?
Carlo?
I thought that was a late Shirelli pick. I might be wrong. I might be wrong about that. So, but even if you throw in, like, because Pastrnak was a Shirelli pick. Like Marchand, Lucic, and Kessel, that draft or whatever, that was Jeff Gordon way back in 06, right? But, you know, all those guys from before then were free agent signings, trade. So Sweeney's drafting, that's the central question here. Because I think he got a good haul at the trade deadline, and he's historically been good at the trade deadline. It's, do you trust him to sign the right guys in free agency? And more importantly, with these extra draft picks you have this year, next year, potentially the year after, is he the guy that is going to make the right picks to really retool you? Because they're not trying to rebuild, right? They're not doing what the Blackhawks have done or what the Sabres have been trying to do for 15 years, right? Like, they're not rebuilding. They're trying to say, we have Pastrnak, we have McAvoy, we have Swayman. We are going to retool this on the fly, and within 2 years, we're going to be a really good team again. That's what they're trying to do. But in order to do that, yeah, you got to hit in free agency. You got to nail those picks in the first two rounds.
Yeah, you're right. And so the first draft Sweeney was in charge of was that three first picks, the 13, 14, 15, with Zboril, DeBrusk, Senishin. DeBrusk, pretty good player. Yeah. Like, played on your first line
Neither
for a while.
Neither one's Barzal.
The other two stink. Carlo was the second round pick in
okay,
that
draft. Okay, so he did draft
Carlo. So he was a Carlo. So he also, by the way, drafted Ryan Lindgren, who's been a really good NHL player, just not for the Boston Bruins. He drafted Trent Frederick, who played a bit for you, not a ton. But again, like, I think you kind of look at the drafting history. I'd say Mason Lorai looks like a hit.
I like him.
That's a good one. Yeah. Lysell has not been able to break into the NHL.
I don't understand, like, with Lysell. This has been their quote-unquote top prospect for, like, 3 years.
He just can't get in.
And he can't play. And even now, like, after you've sold pieces, why is he not in the NHL lineup every night going forward?
There has to be some other issue, whether it's an attitude issue or something, I don't know. But again, Patra, another second-round pick by Sweeney. Yeah. Like, you look at his drafting history, and he hasn't picked a ton in the first round. And he's never picked high in the first round. The highest first-round pick he had was
DeBrusk, right? That year?
The Zboril 13 overall. Yeah. And then he picked McAvoy 14 overall. Outside of that, the next couple first-round picks were 21 and 25. And then multiple drafts where he didn't even have a first-round pick.
Wasn't one of them Malcolm Subban, 25th overall?
No. Subban, I think, was prior to
Shirelli guy?
Yeah, he was a Shirelli guy.
So that's and that's it. Like, it's not like it's been all a disaster. Like, Patra's a good player. Obviously, McAvoy's good. This team would be in a better place if they had drafted better over the last 8, 9 years.
Sure, like, but again, you're swinging in the second, third, fourth, fifth round and not in the top 10 of the first round. Like, it's harder. And I also kind of look at it as one of the things that Don Sweeney has done consistently great in the NHL is find guys that have good talent, but are in bad situations for whatever reason, whether it's a guy like Linus Ullmark in Buffalo, a guy like Pavel Zacha for the New Jersey Devils, and he brings them in and they play way above expectation. Like, that is one of the things.
Coyle in that category.
Charlie Coyle from the Minnesota Wild. Like, Don Sweeney does a phenomenal job at almost, it's very similar to what Bill Belichick did, where he would find guys in the margins that just play better in their system. And I think that's one of the things that's going to help this team be serviceable right away. Like, they're not going to be a playoff team next year.
I would say that
27-28 season, they're going to be a playoff team.
And I think the thing is like I mentioned with the retooling, because of Pastrnak, McAvoy, Swayman, and you could, I would throw Lowry in there too, sure, they're not going to suck. Like, they'll miss the playoffs this year, probably miss it next year, and then 26-27, they could be good. Like, again, but what they need, and this is the issue, they need a franchise-defining draft, much like 2006 when they got Marchand and Lucic, and I think they got, maybe it was Kessel, they got somebody else, but Marchand and Lucic, they need a draft like that.
They need a home run.
Sweeney has not produced any drafts like that. He's had individual good picks. McAvoy, Lowry, Patra, Swayman, he's had individual good picks. He has not had franchise-defining drafts, and they're going to need one of those, and Chiarelli really didn't have many of those either. I mean, that 06 draft was Jeff Gordon, so... I think they're going to need a draft either this year or next year. They're going to need a draft.
So it's going to come down to that, or it's going to come down to a massive free agent signing.
Yeah, or big. I wouldn't rule out some sort of big trade either, and they are going to have money to spend.
Yes, exactly. 617-779-7937. It's Shime and Lions here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We're going to finish the Lions and Shime program here with a little Boston Red Sox taking you into spring.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Training baseball. That's Rafael Devers speaking to the media just the other day. There was a huge hullabaloo about him not wanting to play or not wanting to move off of third base to go to DH. And now apparently he claims that he'll do whatever the team wants him to do now that Alex Bregman's actually in the building. This has been just like a whole headache for the Boston Red Sox. But do you think Devers actually ends up playing third base this year, Lions?
No, and I think it's going to be Bregman. I think second base is going to be Vaughn Grissom and eventually some Christian Campbell. And frankly, I think that's the best thing for the team. And what I don't get about this whole situation is there's been some reports that the Red Sox weren't upfront with Devers about them going after Bregman. Like, first of all, they should have been upfront with him. But also,
why does it matter?
If you're Devers, the Red Sox have been publicly pursuing Bregman since November.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't put it together that, like, this dude might come in and play third base that they've publicly been pursuing for, like, 4 months or whatever it was. Like, so, and look, he was pissed, obviously.
Yeah, but, like, my big thing is, why are you so mad? You already got your massive contract.
And it's you're not a bad third baseman.
It's not like you're playing for some huge contract. It's not like DH is a horrible spot to be. I mean, Shohei Ohtani played DH all last year.
Is a Hall David Ortiz.
Exactly. Like, it just never made sense to me why he was so butthurt about playing third base.
I think he got a mirror held up to him, and that over the last 7 years, he's made the most errors of anyone at third base. He's got the worst fielding percentage in the majors, so they signed someone that's just flat out better than him.
Straight up better.
And he didn't. And look, as a competitor, as an athlete, I can understand why he was pissed. And I think maybe now he's at the point where he's kind of blown off his steam, gotten over it, and he'll be able to move on. Because, like you said, he's getting paid the same amount of money. He's going to be on a team, by the way, that's much better. He doesn't have to be the vocal leader, which I don't think he ever really wanted to be. Like last year in spring training, he spoke out about wanting more pitching. Other than that, he hasn't really spoken out much publicly one way or the other. So I think he'd rather not be the front-facing leader.
Sure.
So now he doesn't have to be that guy. And he probably never will again, because even by the time Bregman's gone, they'll have one of these young kids will be mature enough, or maybe even Duran will be mature enough, that they'll be the front-facing leader. So. Yep. There's a lot of benefits to this for Devers. I think he honestly got a mirror held up to him, didn't like it, and got pissed. And now, you know, what is it, 2-3 weeks later, I think he's over it now, or at least close to over it now.
Yeah, and I'm hoping he's over it. I'm hoping he's actually going to acquiesce to what Alex Cora and the franchise wants and just play wherever they ask you to play. You have the massive contract. You don't need to prove yourself to anybody. They want your bat in the lineup. Do what you do best and hit the baseball. And honestly, not playing third may be more beneficial for him down the road.
Last year, I think in the month of September, he hit like 220 because he was hurt down the stretch.
Yep. And less wear and tear on his body.
Exactly.
I think it's a best case scenario for the Boston Red Sox. Other bit of news, actually, first of all, you can catch Rafael Devers right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, the Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's and Star Market, Red Sox Radio Network, coming up here in just about 10 minutes or so. We'll get your first pitch from their spring training game today. But the other bit of news, Rob Bradford, our guy here at WEEI, had Alex Cora has announced the rotation to start the season. Garrett Crochet, Tanner Houck, Walker Buehler.
Love it.
Same.
Yeah, and look, Crochet only threw 146 innings last year. That is something we're going to have to monitor throughout the year. But I think Houck, like the month of May last year, he was a Cy Young candidate. He's finally gone through a full season. I think Houck is your number two starter. Like, he faded down the stretch last year. I have more faith in him this year, though, to hold up all year now that he's done it. And this Buehler signing, it's the pitching version of Bregman. Solid, dependable guy that's won multiple championships, can be a real leader in that group. And if you look at the way he pitched the last couple weeks of the regular season and into the playoffs, he got better and better and better. Maybe that's a launching pad for him to not be great, but be a pretty good third starter.
Lions, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today in Mego's absence. It was fun. Red Sox spring training baseball coming up here right on the right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network across the network and on WEEI. If you have the Odyssey app, AUDACY, you can listen there as well. I will be back next Saturday with Mego. I'll also be on the Greg Hill Show as I am every Monday through Friday. I'll be back on Tuesday, though, not Monday this week. Got a bit of a flex day. Lions, thanks again for coming in, bud. Enjoy your night. You're back on tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 8 a.m.
Awesome. Tune in then. It's been Shime and Lions right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Red Sox baseball coming up next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For 2026, Toyota is the best resale value brand according to Kelley Blue Book. With the Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner named the top three for resale value above all vehicles by KBB. And with special financing available at your local Toyota dealer, you can enjoy affordability today. While great resale value can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.